everybody. Welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. Ordinarily, we're a podcast covering the original Transformers animated series from three different perspectives: the lifelong fan, the clueless outsider, and the lapsed returning fan. But currently, we're turning the tables and doing a side journey into a Robotech. We'll be covering the series episode by episode and also digging into the production and cultural impact of the show. My name is Ed. I'm a lifelong fan, joined here as usual by my tag team partners, the Freebirds, Evan and Jehu.
Hey, can we be
How's it
the
going?
Bushwhackers? I always love their dance, man, their walk.
There was only two of those. I was going for a thing with three
No, I
guys.
know,
Oh,
I
yeah. The
know. All
original
right, good point, good
Freebirds
point.
came up
Well,
first.
what was their song, Bad Street USA?
Yes, Bad Street USA. Yeah, and a friend of mine, friend of the show Lee, actually turned me on to like a podcast called Nightmare on Bad Street that covers that era of wrestling. He said it's pretty awesome, and they talked about some really obscure local wrestling from like the late 80s from here that I actually have that I'm 90% certain I have a picture of myself in the crowd when I was 12 or 13 years old.
Zero doubts. Did you see the astonishing Adrian Street?
The exotic Adrian Street. He
Exotic
didn't wrestle
Adrian
at that.
Street. Sorry,
He didn't wrestle at that. He wrestled at a thing here called Continental Championship Wrestling.
I just remember seeing him on TV a lot, so I just assumed if you went and saw local wrestling, you.
I did see him, and I waited on it. Like later in life, I waited on him and
Oh,
his
right on.
Miss Linda, like several times, and
Right.
he was always a super nice guy. Once when I was I used to work at a bookstore, and he came in asking for he wanted Pure Moods on compact disc, because he's legit from England or
Right.
Wales or something like that, and he had that accent. He's like, "Do you have Pure Moods on compact disc?" But that dude, he was legitimately like probably 5 foot 2.
Right. He's a short
He
dude.
was very, very, he was very small. And from what I have been told, though, he was probably the legitimately toughest dude
Yeah.
that ever wrestled, because A, he was small, and B, his gimmick was that he was a cross-dresser. And
Right.
so he had to, like, in the 60s, 70s, and in the 80s, in the South, man, you had to, if you were going to do that, you had to back that up, because dudes were gonna give you all kinds of crap.
I always liked his gimmick though, because there were a lot of like gender bender cross dressing type wrestlers, but as an adult looking back on most of them, they're a little cringy, they're a little homophobic, but his just sort of felt kind of like glam rocky.
He was real. He was real, like Brit glam rock. I can totally see that. But he came out with a woman that was legitimately his wife.
Right.
And
I just I like I said, I remember him a lot. I think it was Channel 5 after cartoons were over. They would show the local-ish wrestling around here, and he was always on it, and he was a favorite of mine.
he ruled. Well, it came on. I know for a while it came on like Channel 15, because there was, or maybe it was Channel 5. I don't know, because I know that on Saturday mornings after cartoons from 10 to 11, you could watch Continental. From 11 to
Right.
12, you could watch WWF Superstars, and then from 12 to 2, it was Kung Fu Theater. And so
Right.
it was like 4 straight hours of just like fake fighting, and like I loved it.
Right.
This thing was the other thing that I was talking about was a thing called like WOW. It was a World Organization Wrestling. That apparently
Not
it
to be
had
confused with the women of
women of
wrestling.
wrestling, right? But it has some shady origins apparently, and it was like sort of a get rich quick thing. But they whoever was the money behind it actually got some, like, I don't want to say big names, but he got like Wahoo McDaniel and
Around.
like the Rock and Roll Express, which, I mean, they're from here, so it was like,
Right.
I think they were just on vacation, and they just went
Right.
over
Right.
here. But if you go back and watch it, there's like a lot of like Yokozuna was there, like Bob Holly wrestled there for a
Right.
while, so it was like, oh,
Well,
okay,
Bob Holly's from Mobile.
right, exactly.
Now, I
So
saw him in an Army Navy store one time, and he did not look like he wanted to be approached, so I did not.
No, I wouldn't approach him either. I haven't seen what I've seen him do in the ring. I wouldn't approach him either.
Pretty cool.
Outside of that,
I definitely wish I would have known as a kid that we had kind of a wrestling scene here, because I just didn't understand that.
The only reason I knew about it is because that one, that WOW, ran out of a like a converted gas station or something like that over in by the middle school that I went to.
Yeah, it
And
was over there on the
so
west, on the west side of town, right? Like southwest
yeah,
side of town.
it was ever in Brownsville.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
But
remember, y'all, when I was in ninth grade, there was this girl, and she was taller than everybody else in the class. So I think maybe she might have been having to take like a remedial, like social studies class or whatever this was or something.
bless her
But
heart.
she was also more sophisticated than the rest of us in that sort of way of someone who maybe is exposed too much to adults at a young age.
Yeah, I know the type.
And she just had all these pictures of her with wrestlers.
Oh,
And I
no.
remember at the time,
That's
because I was an extra naive kid, despite growing up in like some pretty shady areas, I was just like, aw shucks. And I just remember thinking, wow, she's a really big fan of wrestling. Not that I was seeing the evidence of maybe some really dark stuff.
oh, well, you—that was your first encounter with a ring rat,
Right,
as they call
exactly.
it.
But I like an underage ring rat.
Yeah, well,
I did.
most of them were. Most of them
Yeah,
were. But
I didn't
see,
know there was
okay,
a term.
yeah, that's the term. That's the term, the ring rats.
Oh, a lot lizard, ring rat, and sweet. I love this, man.
I
I learned
wonder,
so much from this.
because it was like we're about the same age. So I wonder, there was a girl that I went to middle school with that this girl just like was obsessed with the Rock and Roll Express. She loved the Rock and Roll Express. She had
Yeah.
like she had their record and everything, because those who's made a record that's hilarious. But she loved those dudes, but like she was nice. We talked about wrestling a lot, but she was just like way into like Ricky and Robert. But there was a time where we were like, we had to, like do the thing in class where you're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And everybody's like, oh, I'm gonna be a basketball player. I'm like, I'm gonna be a writer. I'm gonna be a doctor. And she said, and it was so weird because she was like, and blah, 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 and this and this. And then when I grow up, I want to be a cook at Hardee's. The teacher was like, wait a minute, did you say a cook at Hardee's? And she's like, yeah, my sister's been working there for 5 years. It was like, okay,
Look, those are
yeah, I hope
attainable
this
dreams,
girl seems
man.
like my people. I
That's an
like her
attainable
already.
dream. I appreciate that. That's awesome.
I
I
mean,
hope she does.
managed expectations.
I mean, I
Yeah.
hope she did it. I hope she I hope that was
I mean,
a
too,
hope she had a
man.
good
I love
career.
that for her. I don't know who she is, but I love it for her.
Yeah, because unlike her, I had to have a long wait for a good career. See what I did there? See, I did that. See the segue. I did the segue. The episode
That's,
title and
yeah.
the long wait. And buddy, it
Did
was a long wait for this episode to get good. And
it get
we're gonna go ahead and just head this off. This
good?
episode is garbage, and I hated it. And let's just go home for the day. I'm done.
It's great for the wrong
I
reasons. Can't wait to talk about this episode. Oh, it's so. Oh.
I'm going to I'm gonna skip the history lesson today. And we're just gonna go right into this one. Because once again, we have the hardest opening credits of all time, and this is the best part of the episode.
And man, this week's recap was concise.
Yeah,
It
what?
was very, it
Just
was
trim that thing
basically
down.
the captain screwed up. Here we are.
Well, it ruled because the recap started with him just yelling, "Execute the fold," and then Captain
Yeah.
Global executed the fold. And you're like, "Oh, okay, cool. What a cool thing."
I mean, yeah, and I appreciate that. It's like, it is a very Adama thing, like launch the fighters. Activate the fold. Same energy, man. I love it. If you ever watch Exo Squad, Admiral Winfield, launch the E-frames. I love that, man. Just it's iconic.
It was, yeah.
That's the best thing about this episode. And it was last episode. So yeah, man.
This is the best thing about this out here. You are correct.
Well, no. In ways,
So,
there are some other great parts of this, but we'll get into that.
we cut down to so last week we left our last episode we left off with Rick and Minmay had crashed Rick's fan jet into like an unknown hold in the SDF-1, and after they had blasted into space. But keep that in mind, because they knew they were in space, and we talked about it, how him flying having to fly through space. So keep that in mind for a little bit here. But like, dude, they're filthy. Dude, they've got so many. Dude, they have so many tic-tac-toe boards drawn on them. They're filthy. They're disgusting. They've
Cross-hatching
been,
everywhere.
dude. There's all kinds of. They're so dirty. They've been down here for like a couple hours. And they've been filthy, like dirty, dirty kids.
And you know, she's worried. She's like all thirsty, and he's like, "I don't have any water, but I got rations." And that's cool, but you know, I hate to tell Rick this. You kind of need water first, man. And, you know, but he—I don't think he's a survivalist.
Oh,
he
well, I mean, he covers that later.
they talk about
You
that. Yeah, he
know,
does. He got there.
he didn't get the survival badge in nature, whatever it
Nature
was.
Scouts, because yeah, he was
Nature
sick.
Scouts, yeah. So
He was sick that day, but
he was almost a Nature Scout here soon, which is really creepy, but go ahead.
he does have a real sick watch though, called a Heiko, and the off-brand Japanese brands in anime is something that I love. I love seeing pony brand televisions and like I love seeing this in Panasonic. I love seeing this in anime. It's so cool. It's all over Akira. If you ever watch it, if you ever pay attention
Oh, yeah.
to Akira, it's all over Akira. So this was pretty cool. But apparently it's a watch with a built-in compass on it, and there's a really dumb exchange with Minmay thinking that when he said compass, he meant like a drawing compass, and she's making this like
She's like, I
this.
like the way, but the pieces of metal come together and they point.
This is the episode where we really start to get what a ditzy broad Minmay is.
That's
Like
such a great
she,
way to put
like
it,
my
ditzy
note on
broad.
this is that is this B don't know about compasses? Like that was my note for this.
Yeah, I mean, like I feel like I knew about like directional compasses way before I knew about
100%. I
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
know about drawing compasses till
But you
like the
know,
7th or 8th grade, but at that point, I had watched like 1,000 episodes of Lassie or Gentle Ben where, you know, compasses came into the plot.
I will
I
tell you.
owned
Several compasses because A, I was in Scouts, but B, because like I mean they were adventure things and they were cool.
Oh yeah, well,
But,
I was never a scouts, but you know what I had? I had a Rambo set with a knife and a compass and a little that little like you know necklace with a little green guy on it or whatever it is.
I know the one.
Yes, I had that compass for a long time. So I too, without being a scout, had a it was legit.
The compass, yeah. See,
Evan, I 100% had that Rambo knife. It was such a piece of garbage.
it was
And they just gave
terrible.
that to kids. That's a stabbing knife. That is a knife for stabbing. That's not a knife for like arts and crafts or eating your food. It's just for
No,
stabbing a man.
that's a that's one, and it's gonna rip up in there with that serrated edge. I mean, it's a bad knife. And
Man,
Rambo is a
those knives
bad
were
guy.
those knives were terrible. I had one of those also, but like I got mine from the flea market, and where as I'm sure you guys probably did also growing up in the South. The one that I got was like I guess it was like factory second or something, and they were super cheap. So like you could either pick from the compass, the ball compass, not having enough fluid in it, so it wouldn't work, or you could have a loose blade. So mine had the loose blade, but
The compass was usually just decorative.
Well,
Flea
no.
markets in the 80s were just straight up like just the black market. They were just like, you could just go buy something, nunchucks, butterfly knives,
Oh yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
I,
Ninja
you know,
suit. You can
I
ninja
actually
suit
got mine from
bootleg
the.
cassettes.
Do y'all
Whatever
remember the
you want. I
South
can say like
100%. Like people thought that think you know Napster invented stealing music. My first three cassettes were like a 3 for 10, you know, dubbed cassettes. Van Halen 1984, ZZ Top Eliminator, and Huey Lewis and the News Sports. Wow,
That's a good
that's a
three record.
good first three records to get, right? Those are all bangers.
That's really yeah. I remember I got Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley
That's a
Crue
good one.
market, and I was real mad because my friend had a legit copy, and like his was the cassette was nice. It was like clear and everything, you
Oh
know.
yeah.
Mine was white, and
Oh
like it had a photocopy cover. I was real mad
yeah.
about it.
So yeah, all these photocopy covers were from the era of one color. So like, you
Yeah.
know,
Oh yeah. Totally. Everything was black and white.
1984 was green, Eliminator was red, that sort of thing.
I was going to back up though. Y'all remember the Sack and Save that was on Fairfield, right?
I
I
do.
was just talking about this 2 days ago. Go
So
ahead.
that's where I got my actual branded Rambo knife, compass, and necklace, and that's freaking compass. Oh, sorry, that Smurfing compass worked. I had that. That's why I held it so long. It was had hit like Sylvester Stallone on the front going, ugh, and you know, all sweaty and stuff. Yeah, it worked, man. And
Nice.
that
My
It was, you cheapos and your flea market stuff. But also, that's actually, going to the cassette thing, that's actually how I discovered Metallica. My brother came back from Ramstein Air Force Base in the Air Force, brought back a bunch of like random like copied tapes, and there was this black one I found, and there was just like faded out things, but probably been copied over 5 times. That's where her Master Puppets. So I was like, this is
Right.
awesome. I had no idea who it was. I listened to it for a long time. Someone was like, I didn't know you listened to that. Like, what is it, dude? Because I had no idea. Because, I listened to Motley Crue.
Right.
So yeah, so they're trying to rescue these two aircraft carriers. They have when they folded into space, that they carry two aircraft carriers with them, and that's apparently an emergency. But I don't know because they don't cover it. Nothing, because they talk about it for like about 3 seconds, and then we go back to then Roy Fokker comes on the radio, and this dude is. This okay. This dude's a military. This dude fought in the global civil war. This dude is like, so he's gonna he wants to go look for Rick. And Captain Global, like, no. We have 70,000 survivors that are more that we have to rescue, and he pitches a fit. And well, I guess 70,000 survivors are more important than my friend. Yeah,
Yeah, they
I think
kind of
they
are,
are.
man. I wrote down for this. Roy is not cut out for military. Like, he
No.
has shown, except for being very good at like flying and killing,
He's
he's good
Maverick.
at no other part of military. He's Maverick. That's what he
Yeah.
is.
I mean, he has a complete disdain for like the chain of command and authority and whatnot.
Right.
But then
And,
again,
or any rules at all.
oh yeah, he's gonna
Rule.
invite his friend. He's gonna yeah, he that haircut is definitely not regulation.
No.
He's hooking up with Bridge Crew. This dude, it, like, yeah, this dude is yeah, this dude should be kicked out. But then again, he was a jet double ace in a day. And
Let him
well,
get
that's
away with
all
it
right.
then.
So yeah, so and that's the last that's about the last we see of the of the that's the last we hear of Roy in this episode, and that's the last
Yeah.
we hear of anything related to a Veritech fighter in this episode.
There's more important stuff going on down below decks, obviously.
But well, we get a cool Rick and Minmay find a cool window, and they look at a bunch of junk floating in space, and here's where they're like, are we just floating in space? Yes, dog, you guys flew the plane from space into the spaceship. In the last episode, you knew you were in space. This is not a surprise. This is nothing new.
And by the way, this is the second time he's had to explain to her what space is. Because I think you said it best. We found out what a ditzy broad she is in this episode.
Oh, God. She's a ding, she's a total dingbat. Although, on the junk floating in space, there was a truck with a giant swordfish painted on the side of it, and that was really cool. I really like that truck with the swordfish.
I think I spotted a pair of underwear.
I
Oh, you
think
probably
yeah, I
did.
think you did.
But I think they were a really big pair of underwear. Like maybe they were Zen Trotti underwear.
Bloomers.
The scale of some of the stuff out there is a little rough.
Oh
It's
boy, are
like,
we going to see some of that later?
yeah, it's like Transformers Sunbow rough scale. So let's get into
Right.
that.
Do you think that you think Zentradi wear underwear?
I mean, I don't know. I just Need to wear know that was
magic
a really
underwear.
big pair of underwear.
Yeah. I wonder if they wear them. I wonder if they wear underwear.
Magic underwear, man. They gonna live on their space planet later on in the afterlife, and that's how Zentradi are. You didn't get this part of the canon? Oh man, I'm sorry.
Sure. Sure. Why
Space
not?
Mormons. They're fine. There's
Space
nothing wrong with
Mormon.
them. They're nice people, man. They're really nice people. I don't agree with everything they think, but they're nice people. I give them a pass.
They're good people. They're good people.
Yeah.
They're good people. Well, so they try to get some water. So this goon Rick takes a metal rod and just pries a water pipe off the wall. Like, my dude, you are in space. You are on an experimental spaceship. You may not want to break the spaceship while you're in space. Who knows
Right.
what? How do you know that's water? First of all,
Yeah. It could be
like
coolant.
it was water coming out of it, but that could have been condensation. That could have been like a fuel.
That could have been
Right.
raw sewage.
Sewage, coolant. That could have been hydraulic fluid. It could have been anything. But I'm just gonna pry this thing off the wall. Don't break the spaceship while you're in space.
Like a whole block lost water pressure for 2 weeks.
And what about the toilets that's connected to? What about the sinks? Like, what
Right.
are those people?
Exactly. You don't know that's the water pipe going to the toilet. It could be the water pipe going from the toilet.
Right.
And they're gonna have a nice shower.
May I found some poop here.
Oh, Rick, you're so funny.
Also, and I had no idea when I wrote this down that it was going to be pale in comparison to what would come very soon after. But when Minmay helps him, she like very dramatically takes off her shoes, and I was like, "Oh, here's our pervert moment. This one's for feet
Oh,
perverts."
yeah, it gets so much worse.
Oh, nope. Nope.
Oh.
I see. I thought it was weird that they put that much animation into taking the shoes off. It was
No, it's not weird. Come
like
on, it's Japan, dude.
could
She's
I've
fourteen
gotten
years old. And it's Japan.
some missiles or something here instead?
No.
Like something blowing up, but no, I get her taking her shoes off.
No,
Lovingly.
they'll use stock footage for missiles going flying off, but they're gonna take time to animate this.
I mean, there's a couple times in this episode where they just show pictures,
Oh yeah.
but they definitely fully animated her taking off her shoes.
Like
There's
frame by
things
frame.
floating in space that are just pictures. And you know, they're just like putting something in front of the cell. Like, oh, that's good. Yeah, but they took time with them feet.
They got they got the Akira staff to come in and animate her
Right.
now we need
Oh,
now we need to do
God.
we need
I'm glad I'm not the only one that noticed this stuff.
we need 60 frames per second on the shoes coming off. So
So we've talked about this a few times on here, that when you were a kid watching these, you would be watching them usually on a UHF station, and whether or not you could see the thing was haphazard from day to day.
Oh yeah.
So I remember this next part. I remember it, and this is almost like I didn't remember. I remember it too. It's like the turn in The Usual Suspects or something. Like I immediately was like, I remember that and thinking. So basically what I'm getting to is, guys, we get to see a full-on butt here.
Yep.
We get to
Yeah.
stick one
Lin
butt.
Minmay decides to take a shower and she does a little pirouette in it, and you see a straight up butt. And I can remember seeing this as a kid on like a day when the TV was sort of fuzzy and thinking, I didn't really see a butt. I've imagined that, but because you know that would happen a lot on UHF, because also at
Yeah.
night they'd show movies, and because of the fuzz, you'd sort of delude yourself into believing, hey, I just saw an unedited part. They skipped the bleep button and I got to see it.
Got it.
And I thought that's what this was, but I really saw a butt as a kid. I want this is what I want the time machine for. I want to go back and tell me, hey, you really saw an animated butt this afternoon. That really happened.
Change your life. The and that's the thing, man. This whole exchange where I don't know, it's like Rick's just standing there. He goes, huh. He just watches her. She's like, Rick, you want to get out of here?
I'll also say, Ed, a few weeks ago, you had pointed out that I could watch these on YouTube. So this was the first episode I watched on YouTube. And we got to that part, and I'm like, okay, I don't trust this. Somebody's changed this for YouTube. I'm getting out my DVD. And
Yeah,
no, it was a real butt. It was
it's on the
really there.
DVD. It's on the iTunes version also. And yeah, no, I was as shocked as you were. I don't remember. I have no memory of this, even though this is the episode, as I've said before, this is the episode where I check out and I'm like, oh,
Right.
and
Yeah,
it's done,
that's
or I skip it. And
yeah.
yes, but you know who else saw that butt? That pervert Rick was sitting there peeking through the hole in the middle of the shower curtain.
Oh, you
He was
know what?
15 years old.
That this is really nice though. It happened early enough in the episode where you saw it before your grandpa came home, so it wasn't so embarrassing.
Right,
Good job.
exactly. 100%.
Good job,
Like
man.
20 more minutes and this would have been real sweaty.
What would Odell have done? What would Odell have done if he saw you watching the anime butt?
I don't know, because I mean he might have liked that, you know. It's like, okay, well, you know, at
How
least this is some sort of,
old is she?
straight male behavior here. I actually think shit that happens later in this episode would be way more scary for him to walk in on, but
Oh
we'll get into
yeah.
that. Oh
Okay.
yeah.
I mean, at least it wasn't like Lancer or Yellow Dancer or something like that.
Doing, yeah, a little
That's where I
that's
would
right.
have been. That's where I would have just like not wanted any,
Yeah, those are episodes I checked
at
out on there.
all. But this is unfortunately this is about where this episode just grinds to a halt, and I'm just oh my God, I'm nodding off. I'm sleepy.
Man, Well, Rick shows how bad of a survivalist he is. Like, she's like, shouldn't we like make their food last when they're eating? He's like, no, we're gonna be risking any day now. This is fine. Starts munching this can of like rations. She's like, let's save mine. He's like, all right, whatever. And he chows down.
Yeah, at that point I was like, okay, this chick makes some sense.
Yeah,
Like, you know.
she knows.
I think
Unfortunately.
also in this, by the way, I have a theory about this episode. I have a theory that initially this was all Rick and Minmay, and then they went back and added the other stuff because they thought maybe that, you know, this wasn't going to keep anybody's attention for a full 22 minutes. Because some of the cut-ins are really random. Like there's one where they just cut in of everybody getting coffee. And
That's right. They have the SDF1 branded
it's
mugs
pretty
too.
sexist.
Man,
It's pretty sexist because as soon as these chicks get coffee, they just immediately start talking crap. Like it's just immediate gossip.
so
I want a mug like
they
that.
do, but they have these sweet SDF1 like merch coffee mugs. These are
Oh,
great.
100%.
Did
I
you guys
want that.
notice that they also had SDF1 branded sugar packets?
Did they? I missed that part.
SDF1 sugar packets. This is
Oh
cool. This
man,
is
I'm
cool.
jealous.
Yeah, the coffee cups, I get, knowing what I know about like the Navy and such, like that's a thing, you know, like your ship is gonna have like branded or, you know, whatever, bespoke, you know, like coffee mugs and that kind of stuff. Like usually I think it's for like officers and the captains and that kind of stuff, but that's a thing. And I thought it was a cool touch. And also I want one now. I really want one.
Right, no, 100%.
I would drink, I mean, I drink coffee like a lot, but
I don't know.
I would.
I'd like want different kinds of like I'd want different mugs. Like I'd want an SDF1, obviously. I want a what is the Crimson Tide, the sub they had. I want a mug with the designation of the Crimson Tide sub on it. I want mugs like that. Like just like, well, what do I feel like today? Insubordination? Yeah, sure, I'll have that. That's
These
such a good
sugar
movie.
packets, SDF1 sugar packets though.
That's
That's a,
so good.
I feel like that's one of those things that like somewhere out there there's like a Lisa Hayes cosplayer out there that just like has some of those that she's made like in her pocket of her costume. You know, like when you're you know, if you're at a con, you know, and you're like having coffee or whatever, she's like, oh, here, let me give you some sugar. And you're like, you got SDF1 sugar. Like,
As long as she's very boring and mousy, that works. Otherwise, it's no.
And judgmental.
Yeah.
And judgmental, yeah.
Oh.
I can see that. Like you guys ever watch, you guys know about Mrs. Fallout? You guys know Mrs. Fallout?
I don't think so.
She's she's on like Instagram. She does these little reels of her just like making these like screen accurate Fallout props.
Oh,
Like
nice.
it's very cool. There's no dialogue, there's no talking or anything like that. It's just like her like a 45-second thing of her like, here's something I got from a thrift store. I'm gonna turn it into Fallout, and it's very cool. It's really neat.
Hey, right on.
But what's not really neat is Minwe ramble on about how she wanted to be a singer, and on
If
and on.
Rick is pulling the whole like, I bet if I like support her and tell her how nice a bitch she sings, that she'll want to kiss me. He's doing that for the entire episode.
Rick is in it to win it in this episode,
It's
100%.
I'm like, dude, pull back a little bit, man.
You know, as soon as she said, "Oh, I want to be an entertainer," I was like, "Uh-oh, we're here now."
I
The worst
knew
part
where I
about
was
that,
going.
it continues for half this show, so please.
Also, when she says that, she's like, "Oh yeah, I always want to be an entertainer," and Rick's just like, he just totally makes it about himself. He's like, "Yeah, I just wanted to be a pilot." He's like, "Yeah, well, I trained. I went to school to learn how to dance." So like, yep, I won the amateur flying contest 8 years in a row, and like, he just makes everything about himself. This dude, this dude is cut out to be in the military. This dude is absolute military. But here we go. Here's the tuna.
As soon as we saw it, I blocked out this from my memory. I remember all the awkward stuff where they're hanging out in the cargo hold this entire time. I forgot about the tuna, and that would just made me laugh. I was at work, like watching this while I'm between like doing whatever I'm doing, like, what the hell is that? No. And it's
Guys,
so big.
I feel like we had a completely different experience on the tuna because I really want to set the stage of they're looking out the window near the airlock again, and they see the giant tuna, And Minmay says the line here. Let me find it. I wrote it down here. That sure is a big tuna fish. Did I completely lose it to that line? I absolutely did. I watched it twice because I'd watched this last week and I watched it as a refresher again today. Both times, completely lost it for that. Sure, here's a big tuna fish. And then when they both say to each other in stereo, tuna fish, I lose it again. Both times. I love this.
Oh, I swear, I do not
So,
remember this
do they
ever.
cover why the tuna fish is so big?
That's how big
I'm
tuna.
assuming the
Tuna are
implication
tuna.
is
No,
that
they're big.
Zentradi
Tuna
have big
naturally
tuna
get
fish, but
massive.
why would it be out there?
Oh, because they took a
It's by
chunk of
the
that
water.
ocean. It's like when they space folded, there was that big sphere around the SDF-1, and it was close enough to the ocean that it took a chunk of water out with it. That
Okay,
water.
I understand that they would have taken fish from the water, but why is that tuna fish so huge?
Because it's that's that tuna get that big. Tuna like naturally get that big. Like
That
a
big,
like
I know
a
they get
huge.
like as big as a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get about that big. Yeah, I mean, if you catch a tuna, like as a commercial fisherman, if you catch a tuna, like they get that big, and you, I mean, you can make like $100,000 off of one. Like they
I
get
am learning
massive.
something new
Yeah, no
on the
joke. I want to
More Than
watch
Meets These
videos.
Guys podcast. I thought this was a continuity era, but
No,
they had their
they
birth in
get those
order.
things get massive. Yeah,
Okay.
they are.
All right.
Yeah.
I did
Look,
not know that. Why
my
are they
wife.
calling the chicken of the sea? That's like the buffalo of the sea.
That's like the emu if you're going to eat anything.
Right.
So I'm going to go and watch. Like my wife loves watching Alaskan like homesteader videos and shows. I'm going to go see if I can find like some North Sea catching guy catching a tuna, reeling it onto a boat. I want to see how big these things are. That's like Jaws size. That is a,
Right.
that you're going to need like no, you don't need a boat. You need one of those barges that the bottom opens up in the back. And you can pull it in and pull the trap back up. That thing's giant. I can't, and I, he is the, he's terrible because he has his two things to propel him. Like one,
Right.
like what's it, cans or something? I can't forget and
I
remember.
think they're cans of oxygen.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, he's like, okay, here he goes. He jettisons there to the tuna. He's got a strap holding him onto the ship, grabs the tuna and brings it back, then opens the other can in the air and he's like running towards, and I like this because this is very good. You know, show it shows you how the vacuum of space and little propellants can work really well. And this thing is like there, he's flying back, but he gets to the ship, and he's running out of air, and he gets kind of caught up, and he's dying. He's trying to grab his mask and stuff. He's like, you know, suffocating, and it falls on him. All he had to do is get out of the way. Literally, it's like Eric could be like, "Whoop, okay," and the whole thing would go in there. They would be eating for months. But
Well,
no.
right.
he was well. I think he was losing. A, he was running out of oxygen.
Yeah.
B, he was going from being weightless to going in right where there was a gravity, and it
Yeah.
pulled him down on top of it. I mean, that's how I got it anyway.
I think the most amazing part of this whole sequence of he's with this girl that has shown nothing but the fact that she's just wacky up until this point. That she can be trusted with no practical things. And he's like, hey, work the airlock for me. And
Yeah.
to be fair, she does it. She does a good job with the airlock, but that was very optimistic on his part.
Yeah,
Yeah. that could have ended very poorly. And it
Yeah.
kind of did. It kind of did though,
It
because
kind of did because they ended up with just a fish head.
it's a fish head. Yeah.
But that's a big fish head. There, you
But
know,
it's a big fish head, so they could still get a lot of usable fish off that fish head.
the best part of that, the next scene when he's got the burner and this fish head is on top of the burner.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you can't find some piece of meat, some kind of metal to carve off like slices of meat. You're gonna make a fish head roast out of this whole thing.
Right.
That's pretty Chinese,
What
though.
is? But I
Yeah,
mean, that's
but.
you don't cook a do you cook a like a 200-pound tuna head on fire? Is
Sure, why
that
not?
Chinese?
I mean,
Oh yeah, well.
that poor fish's face looks about like my face watching this episode. Oh, by the way, the biggest tuna ever caught was 15 feet long and weighed 1,500 pounds.
Holy crap. That's
Yeah,
big
and
fish.
you can regularly apparently you can catch 500 to 800 pound tuna on a regular basis, and they sell for like a $500,000. So
That's a big fish. This was much bigger than that, but yeah, that fish
this
probably
was
could.
bigger than that, but I mean, this is like in the South Pacific, you know,
Yeah, this
there's
is
not a
Optimus
whole lot.
Prime's trailer
I
big.
don't know, but
Like
maybe
prime
this
huge.
is protocol.
I've ate a good bit of tuna in my life. For some reason, this makes me feel bad about it.
Oh
I
yeah,
didn't know they were such big, magnificent creatures.
they're
They're
not
beautiful
always.
fish too.
I mean, they're not always, but I mean, they're. I mean, tuna's delicious though. But
It's very much so.
oh my God, we get a song. Oh,
This is what I'm glad Odell didn't catch me watching. Oh my
okay.
God. My as soon as she starts singing, I was like, oh God, it's happening already. I didn't think it would happen already. I thought we had a few more episodes.
This feels like the last unicorn Mia Farrow singing kind of like song. And it just like it was, oh, it was bad. It was very like not it was like off-brand Disney princess singing. But very, very true to early anime.
Right.
And I'm getting flashbacks to my boyfriend as a pilot now. And I know this is gonna get worse. So I might as well enjoy this now because this only lasts for like 10 seconds at most.
It seemed like it lasted for the entire episode.
Yeah.
This was not.
This is setting the stage for Macross being cool fighters in space and music, team titles. That's
Right.
what Macross is.
Yeah.
It is. No, it
I don't know. It's
100%
like
is.
it's kind of it's a lot of times it's kind of easy to ignore that, and in Robotech, like when you get into the later Macross stuff, it's just like, I mean, these dudes are just like playing guitars through
Macross Seven,
their
yeah.
attire. This is still as much silliness, but
Yeah,
yeah.
I've got that Fire Valkyrie over there. As a matter of fact, he's over there playing guitar in the cockpit and fighting.
That is a pretty cool robot, but.
Oh, it's fantastic! Yeah, So it's Rick is just like enamored by her, and he once again he's trying way too hard. He's just like, yeah, Minmay, you have the best voice. I can't remember what he says, but he's like fawning over her, seeing,
And well, they're gonna
and
get like
she.
fake married and all this stuff,
Yeah,
and oh yeah,
she says
voting.
something to the effect of, and I'll never get to be my true dream to be a bride. And I
Right.
was like, this bee is crazy.
Oh yeah.
And then Rick immediately is like, hey, let's fake a wedding. In it to win it, man.
That was a strong move too. He's like, man, I'm gonna strike while iron's hot, man. If she wants to do this, we may die. I'm gonna go out strong.
So then they go to kiss, and then like a bomb falls through the ceiling. Like finally, I get some kind of war thing going on. This is okay. This is like
Dude, what is that thing? It never explained it. It's just a
they don't
piece of
even. They're like
debris.
maybe it was a Zentradi bomb, maybe it was a missile, and that was it. And then here comes the mayor of Macross City coming up, and hey, look, it's Midmay down there. Hey,
Midmurray.
what? And dude, so we find they've been down there for 12 days, and they have somehow rebuilt all of Macross City inside of the SDF-1.
I am so impressed with how efficient they have been. I guess they have nothing else to do but rebuild. They're probably like, well, you know what? I want my restaurant to look like this. Let's get, the crew of people. I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of like Space Mormon stuff going on here. They got together and built each other's houses overnight. It's like, it's cool, man. I'm really happy with that. Let's go.
I
It
mean,
really was very fast work.
it was really fast, and because it's already like blocked out, like city blocks and stuff like that. They even said they're like, oh yeah, we've got the survivors organized by city blocks. I'm like, I guess city blocks is not a spaceship.
I also assume we never got to see it, but Roy pouted through all this work.
Oh, he was so, oh, you know, he was insufferable.
You know, I'm a fighter ace. I can kill people. And you're like, yeah, I need you to hold the level steady. Like, all right.
Also, Jason is so happy to see Min May in this. He must have just had a soda. Like his blood sugar must have been just right.
Well, they probably have soda like on tap at that restaurant.
Right.
I
Dude,
mean,
I
maybe
gotta
it's just
say, man,
people at the fountain making suicides.
Jason is one character who always shows up in the episodes. He's always
Yeah,
there.
he's there. He's there.
I want to see how long he holds out. I mean, is he gonna be recurring character? It's like, you have like the credits, like the guy like Rick Hunter, Roy Fokker, Lisa Hayes, and special guest star Jason.
Jason.
So he's in it the entire time, man. But they come out and she is so excited about everything they've built, and he's like, "Wow, we've been down there 12 days. No one's like, we thought you were dead. We went and wrote you off, and had a funeral." Nothing like that. You know, they're like,
Yeah.
oh, yeah,
No,
we
they were all kind of like, we figured this was going to work out. So we just went about our work.
I mean, there's 70,000 people that
Yeah.
they've been dealing with. I don't think that, I mean, like, two
Like it's
people is like,
mid-May.
look, I'm sure that there's, I'm sure there's hundreds of other people that they have, that they're still trying to find in this thing.
Right. They're burning a an altar in there to Min May's memory with a picture of her and like incense sticks in that restaurant.
But Min Mei just drops Rick, dude. She
Right. Done.
like the whole crowd. Oh, hey, Min Mei, and she is just like, she's done with Rick. The fake wedding was double fake. It was a scam fake wedding. She's wants no part of him. Doesn't want to be a bride anymore. Just wants to
You know,
go be a tiny child.
I didn't really remember this about this show, but it was kind of ahead of its time in that you know, this is what it's like to date a popular girl. A popular girl's gonna drop you when the attention of the crowd shows up.
Oh
It's
God,
just gonna be
you're
part of the thing, you know? Like
not wrong. Yeah.
most 80s movies was trying to convince us that any geek could land a cheerleader and then he would be the center of her world. This is more real life.
Oh man,
And he's
that
not even a geek. He's a pilot. He's a
pilot.
cool
He's
guy.
cool. Yeah, he's got a he
80s,
has an
yeah.
ascot.
80s
But he's still
movies like
just
that
a cool
problematic.
guy. He's not a
Yeah.
crowd.
Right,
Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So
80s movies like that were kind of problematic. So we
a
don't want to go
bit.
too far into that.
They've
We're the
messed up so
nerds.
many people, and I'm so glad we're beyond that. You know what? A cheerleader doesn't want to date a guy who paints models. Like, you know. Like she doesn't want to date a guy who collects comics. She wants to date a jock because she's a jock. They have common interests.
Yeah, but I mean, we talked about this when we talked about the Michael Bay Transformers movie, where like why would I don't understand why Shia LaBeouf's character was trying to hang out with the cool kids when they don't like him. They don't like him. Why do you want to keep trying to hang out with him?
I
Like,
guess he's into like sweaty, dirty girls also, like the entire
quit.
time. Who are like
Well, and but also even with that, he should have had no chance for with her because she was super capable, and he's a bumbling idiot.
Oh yeah.
Well,
Oh no,
it's
he
you
totally
know
was.
there's the old like thing like you know it's probably very sexist of me to say girls always want to date someone like their dad. And I mean,
Right.
if hang on, her dad was a loser who was a really shitty person, and she found him like, well, this is the guy, obviously.
Right. Hey.
I mean, Smurfing bad.
That was it. That was the end of the episode. Min-Mei drops Rick, and that's like, and then in the next episode of Robotech, we get more action in that like 4 second clip than we got in this entire episode here. I was like, that was about okay. I want to see that. I'll come back tomorrow for that.
No, see, the thing I love about the next episode, Transformation was is what it's called, is I remember what happens in this, and it shows how bad they are at space travel. Again. This is
I mean, they're
not.
kind of bad. They're really not very good. The only person that's
No.
really good at anything so far in this is Roy. He just good.
Oh,
He
Roy is
actually tried to kill
fantastic.
him.
I mean, like, let's be honest. Rick Hunter really isn't bad at a lot besides wooing girls into having underage weddings under you know in the cargo
Well,
bay.
he's kind of an idiot now because there's a thing in anime that I read once where a guy was like deconstructing how anime works, and like the hero in anime a lot of times is at the beginning is generally like unlikable,
Right.
and they do that apparently because in Japanese culture they think that if the hero starts out as capable out of the gate, then it's not fair that
Right.
he doesn't get to learn anything and get
Well,
better.
yeah.
So,
Look at Kaneda. Oh, you're speaking of
Kaneda's
her,
an idiot all the way through, though.
yeah.
Kaneda
Well,
doesn't.
Kaneda is he's an idiot, but he learns stuff and he, you know, he kind of he changes as the movie goes on. He's not like a pill popping, you know, punk guy by the end of the movie. He's like, he's found this girl. He wants to be better. And his best friend or the guy he runs around behind him all the time is now a mass of flesh and psychic energy. But I digress.
Right.
So yeah. All right. Well, where are we on the long wait?
Man, I feel like I'm going to be the outsider on this one. So first of all, you know, this was a bottle episode. Like, there's no antagonist. It's just, you know, some of our main characters trapped in a situation trying to get out of it. And as a kid, I hated bottle episodes. You know, I felt like they almost like didn't count. You know, why are you wasting my time with this? And I think I can remember not liking this episode. So, Kid Brain, this is the one that I've gotten the best use out of Kid and Adult Brain with. Because Kid Brain of this probably would have given it to Andy and Helen escape from the cave-in, only to find out that Barney has organized a search party. So then they go back to the cave so Barney can rescue them. Which is the best bottle episode ever, but it only gets two of them. Adult Me. I kind of loved this episode, guys. It was wacky. I hated the song, but I like a bottle episode more as an adult. I see now that it's a time to learn about your characters. I just enjoy. This was kind of my favorite watch of all the episodes so far. The only thing that keeps it from being perfect for me is the song, because the song was awful. But I'm going to give it for that time the X-Files just did the thing.
Wow. All right. They did that a lot of times.
But there's that one episode particular,
It is.
Ice. It's just the thing. It's in like a polar station. You know, nobody can trust anybody because they all think the other one's an alien. It's just the thing.
That's a good episode.
It's a great episode.
I gotta say real quick before I go into what I'm saying about to say here, we're gonna find a way to do the Transformers movie for this next week. And I say this because Ron Friedman just passed away. Ron Friedman is the guy who wrote the movie. He's the guy responsible for a lot of the Transformers the movie stuff. He just passed away. Yeah, I was actually trying to get him for an interview, but he yeah.
Well, you know what I was going to suggest, you know, in the vein of it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. The worst thing that can happen is they just pull it and then we have to remake the episode about one of the coolest things ever. Oh, darn.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna try to see if I can put up the picture in the screen, and then like if worse comes to worse, I'll just remove it or something. But so yeah, anyways, big salute to Ron Friedman. So we're definitely doing it now, so I'll get that going. Also, yeah, this episode is one of those things. It is a staple of all Macross, all anime series. It really is. You're gonna have that one slow episode after you have a lot of action, and it's supposed to be building character. You get to know your characters better, and it always comes off kind of rough. The animation of this, like you said, there's a lot of cell pictures going in front of the cells, and then there's her feet, and then there's her butt. That one scene. It's honestly, I didn't mind it near as much as I think that I did. It's like me hating the girl who loved Powerglide. Because I have a lot more invested in that. I don't have a whole lot invested in Robotech. So this was just me going, how much weirder is this going to get, man? And loving every minute of it. And her singing badly like Mia Farrow in The Last Unicorn is icing on top, man. It's perfect. And then the wedding, my God, I was just like, don't do it, Rick. Don't, man. Just don't. You don't want this. You're gonna meet a very boring lady later who's on the bridge. You're gonna be much better off. Spoilers. They're gonna make you kiss her on the some Jurati ship later on. That's love. This is not love. So it honestly, the tuna cracked me up so much, but I forgot about tuna fish. I was laughing at that. I forgot all about that. I'm so
You
glad you
killed
brought it up.
me.
That was so good. How they're looking at tuna fish. That was the highlight of the episode. So I got it, man. I have to give this a good 2.5 suffocating 15-year-olds in space out of five or four, whatever. Yeah.
I should say something I meant to mention. I again supporting my theory, I think that this was originally supposed to be all the bottle episode and the stuff that happened outside of it was added in. All the bad animation is in the outside of the stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, that's where they just like show pictures and stuff.
In
You might be onto
SDF1
something. Yeah, I'll have
stuff.
to look into that. But yeah, you might be onto something there. I don't know that I don't know that I like I know that I've watched like all of like macro SDF Macross, but I don't really, it's been a long time. I don't really remember it terribly well, but
Also, I didn't think of this till you just said it like that, but tuna fish almost seems like an homage to Candy from Speed Racer.
kind of does actually.
You know how the little
Oh,
kid was
huh.
always go
Yeah.
nuts for candy and always
Oh
like
yeah, Chim Chim,
candy.
Spritel, Spritel.
Yeah.
I think Chim Chim and Spritel, yeah. Once
Chim
again,
Chim Spritel.
a second week in a row, a Speed Racer reference. I appreciate that.
That
I
was a good
gotta
show.
watch that again, man. I gotta put that on our list.
So this man, oh, this was rough for me because, like I said before, this is that one where I always stall out. I really wish there would have been something else going on in it. But then again, see what it reminds me of is like when you get an album and like the first couple tracks are absolute bangers, and then you get to that one track where they like, all right, guys, we're gonna slow it down a little bit. And you're like, oh, don't slow it down a little bit. I don't want that. I don't want to see it when you play live either. I don't want to slow down. I want to hear tracks one and two. That's what I want to hear, track one and two.
I can tell you a perfect example of that.
So
Thin
then
Lizzy Jailbreak. When you get to that song where he decides he's Van Morrison.
I
Oh
yeah, I
my
don't like
God,
that.
I hate that track.
I don't like that song either.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I really wish they would have. I feel like they could have interspersed like something. They could have had like even like a couple of minutes of a battle scene or something like that going on outside. I'd be like, so like so, something going on or like convey the building or something. But
Right.
it hit that grind and like the tuna was like, yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's just like it in my brain. It's been ingrained in that for so long that I'm just like, oh God, not the tuna episode again. And this is like I said, this is usually where I tap out. I'm just like, oh, like I have these grand designs to watch all of Robotech, and then I hit this episode, and I'm like, nope, not watching any more of this. Or I get to it, and I'm like, I know what's coming up, and I'm like, I know I'm going to be mad. I know that I'm going to be mad at that episode, so I'm just going to skip over it and skip over it.
I'm gonna have to
So,
get a soundbite of that for this episode. Tuna fish.
so for that reason, Kid Brain would have just been, I would have been angry. I would have gone to school, like just given away Veritech fighters at this point. I would have
I'll take
proclaimed
one.
my allegiance back to Voltron or Mighty Warbots or something. So
Oh, nice.
Kid Brain has to give this episode a single chicken of the sea, one chicken of the sea out of five. But Adult Brain, honestly, I didn't hate it. Like I think watching it with like the critical eye and watching it like knowing that we're gonna goof off and laugh about it, it made me dislike it less. I still don't like this episode, and I still feel like it's like a wall after the first three or so. It's just like thing after thing after thing, and all this, and then it's like you hit this like screech, it screeches to a halt, and you know there's cool stuff going on. You know there's giants bombarding the earth with lasers. Show me some of that, or show me like Roy doing something besides his face on a screen. It was like
Right.
it wasn't even like him. You didn't even see him. You saw like him talking over the comms, and like and it, the min makes like it's like I've said before, man, I don't care about the seeing stuff. I think it's silly. And it's not what I take away from this. But so for that, I mean, Adult Brain's I don't know, maybe I was just in a good mood or something, but Adult Brain will give it three Black Sabbath Planet Caravan where they slow it down after two absolute bangers of tracks and into some thing with bongos and a
Okay,
talk.
but Planet Caravan is a banger.
Planet
Oh,
Caravan
dude, I
is
love
awesome.
that
Yeah,
so
no,
much.
Planet Caravan is a banger, mostly in that it's a perfect lead into to Iron Man, because Iron Man is
That's
there
true.
and it's real cool. But you know, I mean, like I mean, yeah, that's just a sign of maturing, isn't it? Realizing how much banger it is. So when you're a
You know.
kid, you skip over that one. But it's just like on the Stooges' first album, you skip over We Will Fall. You know, now you're like,
Yeah.
man, We Will Fall's like 8 minutes long. And you're like, y'all got a 15-minute version of We Will Fall. I want to hear more of that Hari Rama chanting. That was cool. So, yeah.
I will say, I think the biggest detraction, say, from this episode is if you were like 9 or 10 years old and you turned on the TV and this was the first episode of this show you saw,
Done.
you wouldn't come back.
No,
You
absolutely not.
know, you would think, I need to remember not to watch that show.
Oh yeah, like it's just a bunch of talking.
Right.
They're just hanging on a hanger, a bunch of talking.
Right.
It's like every time someone tried to get me to watch Smallville, all I ever saw was a dude hanging out in a cave with no shirt on. I'm like, I don't want to see this. And now that I know what I know about Smallville, I don't want to see any more of it either. But yeah, so that's it. That's the long wait. When you guys wanna
Yeah,
take
I
us
mean,
out?
yeah,
Dinner.
man.
It's dinner time. We're recording late today. It's dinner time.
We are, yeah, we're recording late. I'm gonna make some do I make some clam chowder from scratch. So good. I'm about to make some more.
Well,
Y'all,
next week will be the thing.
we're gonna
It's,
do this next
the
week.
main event.
I've already told Boo. I've told Reverend Ruin from our Discord. I'm gonna plan this out. We're gonna have a watch party on this thing. It's gonna be good. And you haven't watched it yet, have you, Ed?
No, I still haven't watched
I want to see your reaction. Oh, I can't wait. I'm
it.
so excited about that.
I
Jay,
bought
who
it.
knows? Jay, who knows
I
when that
bought it,
music hits?
but I haven't watched it yet. So,
Oh,
yeah. So, okay.
God. I mean, I really think one aspect of I'll talk about it before we see it that's ahead of its time is you really didn't until the 90s see movies like Boogie Nights or something where every single second of the movie had a soundtrack. Every single second of this movie has a soundtrack.
And I love that you brought that up because there's a reference in Boogie Nights that references Bette
There is, that's
Midler.
true. That was totally Freudian. I didn't even think of that.
I thought you did that on purpose.
No, I really didn't.
Man,
That's
I
so
want you
sad.
to watch Rocky IV and listen to that music and absorb the Vince DiCola, and you're gonna be so happy you did. Yeah.
I have the Rocky soundtrack. That's my gym mix.
You're gonna love this so much. I can't wait, man. It's gonna be so good.
All
I'm
right.
so excited.
Cool.
Y'all
Let's
take
do
it
it.
easy.
So
Have a great
who
week.
else take us out?
All right, Jay, why don't you take us out of here?
Me? I'm not prepared for this. Don't put me on the spot for this.
All right, I'll take us out. Tuna fish.
Tuna fish.
More Than Meets These Guys, a Transformers podcast, is performed by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Research is done by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Special thanks to Hasbro, Marvel, Skybound, and the occasional extra property, which we will name at whatever time is appropriate for that episode. And without all of you, this is really not even possible. So thanks for being here, and thanks for checking us out every week. Goodbye.